The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello everybody, Bill Buckmaster. Fasten those seatbelts. We have a very, very busy hour for you on the Buckmaster Show. Efren is our summer intern on the other side of the glass, does such a great job, a fine young man going on to Pima Community College in the fall. It's the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, June 7th. 2018. Hope it's been a good week for you. We definitely need rain. Douglas yesterday got some good rain. Actually had a severe thunderstorm warning along the border, so that is a very good sign that the summer rainy season will begin soon here, I hope, anyway, in Pima County. Let's go on the live line right now to Tucson City Councilman from Ward Number 5, Democrat Richard Fimbres. Councilman, how are you, sir?
Afternoon, Bill. How you doing?
Doing very well. And before I want to zero in on, as we close out the fiscal year, how we have done economically. But before we do that, kudos to you and other elected officials on Memorial Day for that 8th annual Memorial Day visit to the Veterans Administration, handing out thank you cards to, I believe, over 1,300 veterans.
Yes, we've had some really good work. This is our 8th year, and we had a good cadre of elected officials come down. Every year it seems like the group keeps growing. We also had people like American Valor and the American Patriot Memorial folks and the American Legion, the VFW, also come with us, along with our elected officials, to say thank you to our vets. We started out with them, and we brought thank you cards from about 12 different schools throughout southern Arizona, especially in a lot of schools in our ward, and we handed out thank you cards to not only the veterans that are in the hospital there that are bedbound, but a lot of the ones, the employees that work there that also provide services to our community.
Well, thank you very much for doing that. Let's take now a rather deep dive into the economic situation. How would you consider the 12-month period here with our fiscal year ending? How has it been for Tucson?
Well, we've been making good inroads. You've seen some good things happening in our community. Throughout the community, you've seen an increase. We got a balanced structural budget coming forward again. And so we're moving in the right direction. One of the great positive things I can talk about in Ward 5 is GEICO. We've been able to keep them in Tucson, and they're moving over to the bridges. And that's about a $400 million impact over the next 5 years. That's very important.
Were they thinking of leaving the area?
Well, we're hoping they were thinking about relocating because they outgrown, but then we were able to, folks were able to convince them to stay in you know, our neck of the woods and keep it in Tucson. And not only are the 2,100 employees going to be coming over to our neck of the woods, but they're adding 700 more.
Wow.
So this is a good economic impact for our community to keep going. And then the other thing is that last week Thursday, the university announced they got the Boyer Company has been selected as the development partner to design, develop, and finance the technology precinct in the U of A Tech Park and at the bridges. The U of A will also be working with the Bourne Company to develop the U of A Tech Park. So that's going to be more jobs. There will be two buildings initially, which will be about 120 square feet to house the U of A Tech Park Administration, and another 180,000 square feet with tech companies. So that means more jobs and more opportunities for our folks in our community. And I really want to thank the neighborhoods associations, Western Hills 2, South Park, Las Vistas, and Pueblo Gardens, who have been really revitalizing the South Side and working really hard on the bridges projects.
Now, Raytheon, of course, has a nice expansion coming up.
Yes, we broke ground on May 10th. I was able to take a part in the dedication of the new facilities for Raytheon's expansion, which is also in Ward 5 at the Aero Park. Raytheon has constructed three buildings as part of their effort in hiring 1,975 additional employees. When completed by 2020, this construction will total $500 million. The expansion is just another part of the renaissance of the South Side, but you also saw that they just got an additional contract for additional missiles for the Navy. So this is important stuff, and it's keeping people employed. It's going to help us continue to nurture those folks at the university and at Pima Community College and keep those kind of jobs and those people in our community.
What about the Hughes Access Road? Has that work begun?
We just approved on June 5th the purchase of the land by Hughes Access Road, which will help keep Raytheon, our largest employer here, with about 15,000 employees. And it'll help them also grow, and hopefully it'll also incentivize other companies that support Raytheon and their mission to moving into Tucson.
Anything going on with Chamberlain Manufacturing?
Yes. Chamberlain's construction is close to completion. I know, Bill, we talked about this when we opened this up. The Chamberlain Manufacturing and Distribution Plant is on Drexel. This $20 million project will employ an additional 385 people. And they send their product all over the country and across all over the world and across the country, too. So this is good stuff for us. Again, it's about keeping young people and showing them a pattern. And that's something a challenge we have. You know, Pima hasn't had any funding from the state over the last 5 years, and we got to get the Governor Ducey and these people to restore that funding, because they're really good at instrumenting and creating a workforce for these companies and developing a work plan and workforce for these companies.
Yeah,
that's important.
I really thought that was terribly short-sighted on lawmakers to cut off all state funding to Pima Community College.
Yeah, you know, the two largest community colleges in this state, Maricopa and Pima Community College, get zero funding from the state. And they're not only the two largest in our state, they're in the top 10 of this country. And that's unconscionable to think that way or do that way, because especially when you have all this workforce development that we need. You know, the age of a construction worker now, they're telling me, is 54 years in Pima County.
Wow.
And those guys can write their ticket basically all over the country because, you know, all the catastrophes and issues that we've had in other cities and counties, and they can write their own ticket right now. So we need to grow that workforce, and Pima College is that machine that we can use, because they've done it, and they have a great proven track record of doing it with Bombardier, with their aviation technology, with the trucking industry. That's why FedEx decided to create a hub down here, too, adding 160 new truck driving positions, because they knew of the programs that we have at Pima College also. So my message to the governor and his staff is we need to find a way to fund it and fund Pima College in those areas.
So we had the budget preliminary approval last night, correct, or this week?
Tuesday. Okay. Yeah, Tuesday night. Yeah, we preliminary adopted it. It's still going to go before one more site, then we'll final adoption, and we're moving on some things that are in that direction. So it's been positive. Mike Ortega, the city staff, have done a remarkable job of moving us. I don't know if you remember past discussions, we were just staying above water.
Yeah,
with the Great Recession, and now we have a balanced structural budget, and we're moving in the right direction to move these things. But we need some folks. We need the job training, and we need the market to continue to grow for us, and the housing industry.
We're going to be talking to the new parks director here in the coming weeks, the City of Tucson Parks Director. Is there going to be a bond for parks, do you think, in November?
Well, I think it's time. You know, we went after immediate needs, which was our roads. How many times did we hear about our roads?
Yeah, the roads,
Prop 409 passed by 931 votes. And then for 5 years, we put, dealt with arterials and only 15% of the residentials. Now, Prop 101, the good citizens pass it at large stronger numbers, and it's all the wards passed it, and that's going to be 60% arterials and 40% residential. So we're getting that in there. But most importantly, they also gave us money for police and fire also. So now the one component that's in our city charter that hasn't been addressed is parks and rec. And those are critical issues, because a lot of people, for their quality of life, need to have those resource centers, the centers for health, the pools are important. You know, when we first got into this office, we worked with Doug Martin and Mary and a lot of the business community, Rick Sturtz, to bring back the splash, to get the business community to adopt pools so we could open them up. Now we're at a point where we're offering swimming for the summer at no cost to our good youth. Because, you know, if they're burning off that energy in a positive way, they're not getting in trouble.
Yeah,
well, and, you know, so that's positive. So we've done that, and we've also experimented with keeping some of these recreational centers available. And that affects our seniors, it affects our parents and our youth and our young adults. So those are all tied into this, and I think it's important. We're going to city manager is going to bring back his plan for the June 19th meeting, and I think it's important that we get this on the ballot in November and start asking the good citizens of Tucson again to support it, because that's another prong of our city charter that we haven't been able to address yet.
All right. Councilman Fimbres, thank you very much. By the way, here on the program tomorrow, your City of Tucson Water Director, Mr. Tim Tamur,
yeah,
will be our Friday Focus interview talking about water. Appropriately enough, certainly during the hot summer, it's on everybody's mind.
You know, we got some great people running these departments, and Tim is really one, and he's very frugal on what we need to do. And other than our children, our water is our most precious resource.
I agree.
We got to be very cognizant of that, and we got to be very protective of what we're doing and for the long term, and building sustainability for this city and for this county. So those are things that Tim has been able to do for us. And I know the city manager has challenged all our staff to bring on better ideas and suggestions how we can improve the quality of life for all our citizens in our community. And that's so important.
Councilman Fimbres, a pleasure talking to you. We'll talk to you very soon.
Hey, Bill, thank you so much for your work and what COI has been doing for our community.
Well, thank you
very much.
Bye-bye. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by my favorite bakery in town. It's Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. What a great time now to go by. If you're anywhere near Mona's, check it out. Have a sandwich. That bread that will be on your sandwich came out of the oven just a few hours ago. The bakers, Steve and the team, get up so early and do all that wonderful baking. Go to my website. We have the full listing of all of our wonderful partners at buckmastershow.com, including a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. Be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust.
Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Well, 20 now on the Buckmaster Show. We're joined once a month. It's always our honor and delight to have attorney Don Luce, Mr. Luce of Luce, Brown, and Hobkirk and Associates, whose offices are here in Tucson and Phoenix. And Don Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. We always look forward to his visits to get caught up on some of the news-making legal items. And if you live in Arizona, there's never a shortage, Don Luce, of those items. Don, I also want to tell people about your two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, Handbook for Non-Lawyers. This is in its second printing, and I always tease you that when the legislative session ends, you better get ready for the second edition.
Go back to the typewriter. Thanks, Bill.
A lot of people doing estate planning in Arizona. You also have a book called Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Now, I think there is a revised edition in the works.
There
right?
is a second yeah. edition. It'll be yeah. published this summer.
And we'll talk maybe on a whole segment about that when that is published. Some news from the Secretary of State's office. Arizona has agreed to ease some of the restrictions, Don Luce, for people registering to vote. What are some of the key points there that we should keep in mind?
All right. So the case that you're referring to was filed against the state of Arizona. The contention in the case was that the state was unreasonably imposing hurdles on people desiring to register to vote. And I think your listeners are probably aware that Arizona has kind of an interesting history when it comes to voter registration and voter rights. And in fact, for years, it was subject to court monitoring because there were some problems with registration and voting in our state. This particular case centered around a requirement that the Secretary of State had imposed on people desiring to vote to provide proof of citizenship at the time of registration. That was in conflict with a federal law that says a single nationwide form which does not require proof of citizenship is all that is required for those signing up to vote, at least in federal election matters. In 2013, the U.S. Supreme Court had rejected Arizona's attempt to enforce the proof of citizenship requirement on using those forms. So that much was clear. But this case arose out of a decision by state officials to refuse to register people who happened to pick up the state form but did not submit the required proof of citizenship, even with respect to a vote on federal races. So the district court is going to be presented with a consent decree, which simply means that the parties in the case have reached an agreement to settle the case. And under the terms of the agreement, the Secretary of State has agreed to not demand proof of citizenship to register federal, state, and local elections if people have already provided that to the Motor Vehicle Division and have a driver's license. So what that means is anybody with a state-issued driver's license after October 1, 1996, has already provided the requisite proof of citizenship, and they don't have to provide any other form of citizenship proof. And that would be, by the way, in addition to an Arizona driver's license, you could present a copy of your birth certificate or a passport or naturalization documents or even tribal identification, and that would suffice as proof of citizenship. But if you have an Arizona driver's license that was issued after October 1 of 1996. That's all you need. The Secretary of State, pursuant to this agreement, also agreed to make it easier for people moving from one county to another to register in their new county. Under the current procedure, if you move from Phoenix to Tucson, for instance, and you want to register to vote, you basically have to start from scratch, including proof of citizenship. Under this agreement, all the deal requires is that the party moving just basically convince the recorder in the county in which they've moved to that they've already registered in another county, and the state has agreed to develop a database to make sure that that happens. And then the third major point under this deal is that the Secretary of State has agreed to accept voter registration forms from people who do not have proof of citizenship to let them at least cast ballots for president and members of Congress. Because remember, under federal law, proof of citizenship is not required in order to vote on national election issues.
This whole proof of citizenship, Arizona, as is often the case, is at odds on some very big issues with federal law.
Right. And what this really arises out of is a 2004 ballot measure that Arizona voters approved. It was Proposition 200. And it was part of a broader effort basically aimed at people in the country illegally. Under Proposition 200, it required both proof of citizenship to register and identification when voting. We've now seen from these court decisions, starting with the one in 2013 and then the one that just is coming to an end now, that under Prop 200, the part that requires proof of citizenship to register, at least with respect to federal issues, is not valid. So part of that proposition initiative has been declared invalid by this consent decree, and the Secretary of State is no longer going to require that with respect to voting in federal elections.
But is this the end of the story?
I think so. The state does have a legitimate interest in setting rules for who can register to vote with regard to local issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so with respect to people voting on governor or state legislative matters, or even city issues for that matter, I think the court recognizes that the state can require proof of citizenship to register voters for those matters, but that's not what this case was about. This case was about the refusal to register voters who wanted to vote on federal matters, and in that case, the I think the law now is that proof of citizenship cannot be required because the National Voting Registration Act, which is a federal law, says that a single voter registration form is the way to do it, and the voter registration form does not require proof of citizenship when it's being submitted.
We're speaking with Don Luce, the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. I also want to touch on this ruling Monday by the United States Supreme Court, Don, that sided with a Colorado baker on the issue of the baker's right not to provide a wedding cake for a gay couple. Does that have any kind of impact here in Arizona?
It may, although it's generally believed that the ruling is narrow enough that it really didn't decide the underlying issue, which of course is, did the baker under the First Amendment have the right to deny service based on his sincerely held religious beliefs? The Colorado Civil Rights Commission, which was, by the way, the defendant in this lawsuit, the case is actually styled Masterpiece Cake Shop versus Colorado Civil Rights Commission. The commission said that the baker could not refuse service under the Colorado Civil Rights Law. The Supreme Court said, you know, the commission was hostile to the position that the baker took, and the hostility, which was cited repeatedly in the United States Supreme Court opinion, led the court to conclude that the decision against the baker could not stand, and the court essentially set aside the Civil Rights Commission's decision and said that because of the hostility which was present at that hearing, the decision could not stand. What the court did not rule upon, however, was one of the primary arguments in the case, which is, can a person providing services discriminate against someone on the basis of sexual orientation? I think that's still an open issue. There are some other cases that the court will have an opportunity to decide that issue in that are coming up, but as it now stands, that is not something that is settled law. Interestingly, even though Arizona does not have a protection for this particular category, which is sexual orientation, there are several communities that do have local ordinances that protect against discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. Tucson's one of them. Phoenix, Tempe, and Sedona are three others.
So we'll have to see. And again, the Arizona laws are nowhere near as broad as Colorado, I understand, in these matters.
That's correct. But if someone is charged with violating a local ordinance, let's say a Phoenix ordinance that prohibits discrimination based on sexual orientation, then that is going to present the same issue essentially as the Baker case that just got decided by the Supreme Court. And I think interestingly, there is a case in Arizona currently that's before the Arizona Court of Appeals that involves something very similar. The business owner who operates a company called Brush and Nib Studio is accused of violating the Phoenix Ordinance against discrimination based on sexual orientation. That case is going to be decided fairly soon, and I think it'll be interesting to see what the decision is.
What kind of company was that? The name of that company is what?
It's Brush and Nib Studio, and it does custom artwork wedding invitations.
Okay, interesting. So, yeah, there are kind of some similarities there. Don Luce, thank you very much. We will be looking for the new book coming out, Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, What We All Need to Know. And if you haven't thought about estate planning, maybe this summer would be a good time, right, Don?
There's never a bad time.
Also, Don's other book, doing very well in its second edition, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers. Don Luce of Luce Brown and Hobkirk and Associates. They have a beautiful office here in Tucson. And, of course, they're also up in the Phoenix area. Don, have a very good week. Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. 25 minutes towards 1 o'clock on this Thursday afternoon in the Buckmaster Show. Zocalo at 2924 East Broadway near Country Club and Broadway will soon be moving to their new location on the 13-acre Green Things site on River Road, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. So this is a really exciting time for Green Things and Zocalo. All that great Zocalo merchandise from Mexico and Latin America, now available at a drastically reduced price. Take advantage of the great pre-moving sale at Zocalo near the corner of Country Club and Broadway. Joining us now on the live line, Mr. Dr. David Levy, the Buckmaster Show contributor on science, former science editor of Parade Magazine, now head of and founder of Sharing the Sky Science Education Organization. Dr. Levy, one of the most successful comet discoverers in history, discovering 23 comets, still looking for that elusive number 24, so we could abbreviate and say 24. But anyway, Dr. Levy, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you. Wendy and I just got back from Montreal. It's amazing to spend time going through a person's life and taking all of her possessions and distributing it among her heirs. It was a very sad way to celebrate her 100th birthday, but it was very special in another way. And here we are back with a beautiful vase and some other things that we really, really will enrich our lives, as she did so much.
Well, I know it was very emotional for you, the passing of your mother, and then going back to your hometown of Montreal, Quebec, Canada, where your formulative years developed. How important was your mother and your area of Montreal in what became your lifelong passion, observing the sky?
It couldn't have been more important, because I was there at my childhood home on Upper Belmont Avenue, where on December 17th, 1965, I began my search for comets that I still do to this day. The chances have gone up just a little smidge that I may find yet another comet, because I'm using a very large new telescope right now. And who knows, maybe we'll be able to add that elusive 24th comet. And that'll be easier for you to introduce me and just say 24 comets and be done with the thing.
Yeah, yeah. What was the formulative event, though? Was there anything like an eclipse of the sun early on when you were a young person that really piqued your interest for this career?
Yes, it was. Yeah, I think I caught a little cough when I was in Montreal. Anyway, yes, there was on the 2nd of October, 1959, the first day of Rosh Hashanah of that year. My mother took my brother Jerry and me to the West Mount Lookout, where we saw the end of a partial eclipse of the sun. And that was absolutely fascinating for me. It was riveting, Bill. And I looked at that and took it in and ate it and just never have forgotten it to this day. I went back to that site to see the transit of Venus in 2004. And if I'm lucky, there will be a total eclipse of the sun at that site in, where is it, on April the 8th, 2024. But at that time of year, it tends to be cloudy, so we'll have to see what happens. Maybe we'll see it from another site nearby. Don't want to be too far away from Montreal for a major eclipse when it's taking place in Montreal.
Your comet search began, I understand, the day after my birthday in 1965, on December the 17th in 65.
Yeah. Well, you know, I knew I was going to meet you, and I knew we were going to have a very productive relationship over decades.
Yes.
But so I chose the day after your birthday to begin my search for comets.
Mm-hmm.
How old would you have been on December 16th, 1965, Bill?
I probably would have been 17 years old.
Oh, not much older than me.
Yeah.
Or about the same age as me.
Yep.
I think it was the same age, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
I was 17 when I started.
Yeah, because I entered college here at the University of Arizona in September of 65, and I was Wait a minute. I would have just turned 18 then, because I entered college at 17 and then turned 18 on December 16th, 1965.
And you're 19 now, so
yeah. Yeah, I think I've got the math right. 19
yeah.
It sounds good.
Yeah,
for me.
Sounds good. Let's go with that.
Yeah. How about some bright comets, or not comets? You'd like to see a new bright comet, I'm sure, but how about bright meteors in the sky these
days? They can happen any time, Bill,
yeah.
And the number of times I've been outside and just looking up and whoosh, a very bright shooting star lights up the sky can happen any time. So you don't have to have any experience at all, just have a little bit of interest and look up occasionally at the sky. And just at the right time to see one of those things. Shooting stars are really, right now, the thing that interests me the most, because they come so unexpectedly. They just last a fleeting second or two, and they're just so exciting to see. And that's what I want to do a lot of this summer. And even now, before I go to sleep at night, I go down on our property to a rather remote part of it, and I can just look up at the night sky on a comfortable garden chair and just look up and see the Milky Way. Even now, late at night, when the clouds are beginning to dominate the evening sky, they go away later at night, and leaving a beautiful, beautiful summer Milky Way that I can enjoy.
All right, it's time for the Dr. David Levy Quote of the Month on the Buckmaster Show.
Yeah, okay. Today, this month's quote is from Dante. And the version that I'm using, it is from La Vita Nuova, The New Life. But I'm using the Star Trek Voyager version of the translation, which is a slight modification of the original. It goes like this. In that book, which is my memory, on the first page, that is the chapter when I first met you, appear the words, "Here begins a new life." And I dedicate those words to Wendy, which is how I felt when we met, and I was so entranced with her, and we've been now married for 21 years.
Where did you meet Wendy?
I met her at her home at the time in Las Cruces, and I rang the doorbell, and she opened it, and she was dressed in red.
Oh, lady in red.
Completely, mm-hmm. And there's an English song that I loved at the time and still do by Christa Berg called Lady in Red.
Mm.
And I, whenever I give a talk and I'm talking about my most important comet discovery, Shoemaker-Levy 9, I play the colored slides to the music of the Lady in Red to dedicate it to her.
Very nice. Well, David, we're happy you're back in Tucson after your visit to Montreal, and I know it was not easy, kind of sorting out all of your mother's things and getting all of that in order. It's never an easy task, but I'm glad you're back with us, sir. Thank you.
I'm glad you're a terrible way to celebrate her 100th anniversary.
Yeah, terrible.
But there were letters from the Prime Minister, from the Queen of England,
wow,
and from the Governor General, who wrote a letter about reaching for the stars, which really meant a lot to me because Canada's Governor General is former astronaut Julie Payette, who I know and I really admire.
All right. David, thank you very much. We'll look forward to our visit with you in early July.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Bill, and you enjoy your day. Don't get too hot.
Thanks a lot. David Levy with us once a month. Always a pleasure talking with him, one of two dozen contributors to the Buckmaster Show. We've got such a great lineup of folks that I'm so delighted who are regular contributors. I'm happy that they're with us, as am I happy about our wonderful sponsors of the program. Just we're very fortunate indeed. We'll be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for six new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare, are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. As the temperatures are soaring, well, you know, it's a hot week. What can you say? It's early June. How about a getaway over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico? Only a three-hour drive, and I guarantee the temperature will be at least 10 degrees cooler than Tucson. It can be as much as 15 degrees cooler in that beautiful mountain atmosphere of Silver City. Go to their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find the complete list of the many fine places, several dozen great places to stay, and a like number of recreational activities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's welcome now to the Buckmaster Show the executive director of Fox Tucson Theater, Craig Sumberg. Craig, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you for asking. The Fox Tucson Theater is one of the things we always look forward to in early June. Certainly, we're not looking forward to the heat, but
no.
we're looking forward to the fall and
we're
the winter.
We're looking forward to September. Is exactly
yes,
what
we're looking forward to September and some of the great shows that you and your team at the Fox have. You've announced the lineup. How would you characterize this group of shows that will be coming up?
Well, it is actually hard to characterize. It's, I would say, our broadest season ever. It is our biggest season ever. All together with the shows that are on sale already and the new shows, I think we're up around 40 or 45 shows. So that for us is, and we always add to the season. So whatever's online right now is just a snapshot in time for us. So, yeah, we're super excited about it. We think there's something for everybody, a little bit of everything. And
it's an ambitious schedule. So, I mean, you've got the firm in stone lineup. As you say, you've got about, 40? You said 45?
Between 40 and 45.
That's a lot going into the season.
It is for us. And that doesn't include rentals or movies or any of the other stuff that we do.
So, I mean, when you look at the whole calendar, Craig, you're talking of the Fox being busy pretty much every night.
When we get into high season, we're probably doing four or five nights a week.
Yeah, yep. I mean, that's a lot.
Which is going to tax my staff, but they're resting now, so it's okay.
There you go. So, of course, you want to include certainly stuff for the whole family.
Yep.
And so why don't we begin there? You've got a couple of big shows coming there for the family.
Yeah, we've got basically our family stuff that's booked anyway is all kind of centered around October. So we've got Chinese Warrior show in early October. We've got something called the Popovich Comedy Pet Theater, which are all rescued pets from animal shelters.
Very
performing
cool.
On this great show.
Huh.
We've got a show called Earth's Prehistoric Aquarium, which is puppetry and all kinds of great music and stuff. And then, of course, everybody's favorite Sesame Street Live will be at the Fox late October.
Tucsonans love world music, and they love kind of the whole genre of dance that goes along with it. And it looks like you've got some really good shows already lined up for that area.
We do. We've got this guy named Benesse we've had before. He's an amazing guitarist. He always brings a big show with him, dancers, and it's like a kind of flamenco-influenced. That's in early October. We've got another flamenco show in early November called Flamenco Pasión, and that's coming out of Argentina. Looks amazing. We got a guy named Trace Bundy coming in December. He's one of the best guitarists on the planet, just a guitar virtuoso, and he does all kinds of things on that guitar people won't believe when they come. In the spring, we've got a number of world music shows. Only one I'll mention is something called Mayumina. And that's an Israeli group. They have, we're told, more than 20 different nationalities in the troupe.
Whoa.
And it's dance, performance, percussion, all kinds of great stuff. That is with our friends at the Jewish Federation of Southern Arizona in early April.
Now, that's going to be a great show.
Yep.
Folks always love comedy, too, and you've got to certainly cover that genre.
So for right now booked, and again, just a reminder to the audience, what's on sale right now, our season, which is a big one, is a snapshot in time. So we are always adding stuff. So if you see a hole in our season in terms of a genre, know we'll be adding soon. In comedy, we have Who's Live Anyway on November 1st, which is the stars of Whose Line Is It Anyway on television. That's a live improv show and always super funny. And then we have this woman named Jean Robertson. She calls herself a humorist, not exactly a stand-up comedian. Really, she was a speaker who kind of moved into comedy and very funny, geared for an older audience, but very funny lady.
And all of these shows, they're on the sale of the tickets is now available?
Only to members. So we're in our member pre-sale period, which runs 2 weeks. Started on Tuesday, runs for 2 weeks. So the public on sale is June 19th. But right now, anybody can become a member of the Fox for a mere $75. And that gets them access to our entire season, get the best seats for all these shows coming up. And there are a few shows that are selling pretty well already to our members. And so if people are looking to get those tickets, probably a good time to become a member.
And, of course, want to cover the singers and the singer-songwriters that always bring in a lot of people to the Fox.
Yeah, we do a lot of that. It's one of the things I think sounds the best in the Fox. We're a great acoustic venue for those who haven't been in there, really exceptional acoustics. So with shows that have those kind of a singer-songwriter vibe, really nice in the Fox Theater. We've got a guy named Amos Lee coming, young singer-songwriter. He actually recorded a TV show a few years ago called Live at the Artist Den at the Fox, which is online. You can look it up. And he's coming back to the Fox. We have three young singer-songwriters coming. People may not know them, but they're amazingly talented. They each perform in their own and with other bands or on their own, and they're coming together. It's called I'm With Her in mid-October. Sarah Giroux, Sarah Watkins, and Ophie O'Donovan. Highly recommend that show. Even if you don't know them, I think you'll really like it. Mm-hmm. And then Ricky Lee Jones going to be at the Fox. Joan Osborne singing the songs of Bob Dylan. One of the shows I'm most excited about on the season. Love them both. And lots of other great stuff.
A classic rock, and you've got the country scene covered too as well.
Yeah, we get this bluegrass show, Daly and Vincent. They're two of the best guys with a great band on the bluegrass circuit right now. And then one of our favorites at the Fox, she comes back every year or two, Roseanne Cash, coming with her full band. She's just an amazing performer.
Don McLean is coming with Al Stewart?
Yep.
Whoa.
So we put this little show together, Don McLean, obviously American Pie and
of
Vincent
course.
And all the great songs.
Yeah.
And Al Stewart, Year of the Cat and his great stuff.
I love that
so
song.
Al Stewart's opening for Don, that's going to be a great night.
Yeah, when is that going to be? That I guess January?
Yep, late January, January 25th. And don't want to miss probably one of our marquee shows on the season. Melissa Etheridge is coming in mid-September on the 16th. And that show is one of those that is selling really well right now. So Melissa Etheridge fans who want to get good seats should probably become members of the Fox.
Tribute shows have become a big part of the American entertainment scene, haven't they, Craig?
They certainly in the live performance area, what we do, because it's all this great music, some of which you can't see anymore because mm-hmm. the bands don't tour. So we've got a Paul McCartney show coming with a local guy named Tony Kishman. He's a super good Paul McCartney performer. Actually been mistaken for Paul McCartney in airports and sounds like him and looks like him. We got a Pink Floyd. Actually, have two Pink Floyd shows coming, one this summer, one in September. A very high-end Simon and Garfunkel tribute show, which is a multimedia show in October. And we do have a Carole King show coming. People love that music. And that performer is spot on. So,
is it true that Herb Alpert and Lanny Hall are coming to the Fox? They were husband and wife. I don't even know if they still are.
No, they still are. They are going strong. I don't know how many years later.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a beautiful show. We've had it before. And she's a great singer. He's a great everything. Very, very talented musician. And, that show's in January. We have this series we call Silver Fox, which I think speaks for itself, sort of for an older audience. Herb Alpert and Lonnie Holland, that's in January. Under the Street Lamp in December, which is a kind of a, help me.
Under the Street Lamp, it's kind of a holiday.
Yeah, well, it's all that great 50s and 60s music. And so for the older generation, they're going to love that show in December. And
Peter Yarrow is coming?
Pretty excited about what's called Lonesome Traveler with Peter Yarrow.
Oh,
he's stepped into the role of this great leader of a folk revival show. So it's Woody Guthrie, Pete Seeger, Kingston Trio, Bob Dylan, all the great folk singers. And they're going to sing all that great music, so your folk audience should definitely come check that out.
First show I ever saw was Peter, Paul, and Mary at a coffee house in Chicago
Amazing.
In 1962.
He hasn't changed at all.
No, I'm sure he hasn't. quickly running out of time here. Got about a minute with Craig Sumberg. So we've got, of course, the holiday shows. There's summer shows, and we'll be talking about that in next week more on the Buckmaster.
Yeah, lots of great holiday stuff in summer. Just mentioned that Wyndham Hill is coming. Three of the great performers from Wyndham Hill. I think your folks would like that. Mm-hmm. I also want to mention one quick thing.
Go ahead.
If I'm running out of time. Mm-hmm. The Fox is installing an organ back into the theater.
Whoa.
We got an organ donated by a doctor in California that was in his home. Beautiful organ, beautiful, 3,000 pipes. And that thing is about a year away. It's installing in the next 6 months, 6 months of tuning. And we are going to do a preview concert in April of 2019 and a full-on grand reveal New Year's Eve 2020.
Wow, you heard it here on the Buckmaster
Show.
That's
right, the beginning of the Fox's 90th birthday year.
Very cool.
So it should be fun.
Hey, with a silent movie, that would be cool, too.
Correct. Yeah. Going to be great.
All right. Summarize for us, Craig, where people can get all the ticket information.
Fox2Sun.com is your source for all great shows at the Fox Theater. You can also call the box office at 547-3040. Our box office is waiting to hear from you.
All right. And choose four or more shows. Save 10%.
That's right. Through June 29th.
Thank you,
Bill,
Craig.
You do my job for me. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw, Wake Ups, Tucson, 6 to 9. Our guest tomorrow, we talk water at noon with Tim Tamur, the Tucson Water Director. So this is a very appropriate time to have Tim on as we wait for the summer rains to come. On behalf of all of us here, including Craig Sumberg at the Fox, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.